start it over again for now for Sheila. So welcome, Sheila. Now, your last name is Trekarton?
That's correct.
Yay.
It's an easy one.
Should be easier for you.
Thank you.
Okay. So welcome.
Thank you.
And that was a pretty quick way to get through. But Sheila, we're very excited to have you tonight. And, you know, I have a feeling that we're going to have you back quite often because, you know, one of the areas with regards to animal communication, I mean, it's just so many people are fascinated with their animals. And, you know, a lot of times with animals, we have so much more compassion. And because they're so unconditional, you know, we tend to put conditions on our relationships, on our family, on a lot of different areas where we don't really do that for animals. So we allow that really unconditional love to permeate, you know, your whole life. So a lot of people are, you know, just fascinated by their animals and really want to know a lot of information about them.
That's true. That's a very good point, actually. It's too bad we didn't treat people the way we treat animals in that aspect, where we would allow them not to be judged and not to be no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
People, maybe our relationships between beings would be much more successful.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. But before we get into all of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about what started this, what your inspiration was, what your passion is about your work?
Oh, actually, how I started doing animal communication, it's actually a natural gift, I'll call it, that was present when I was younger. We lived in the country in rural Ontario, much further north than I'm sure you even want to think about. But there was not much to do in the middle of nowhere, let me tell you. So we lived in a log house. That tell you anything?
Really?
Yeah, it was actually very That's beautiful, but it was my father's dream to own a log house. And
wow.
So we did get
Does that
there.
Mean outhouses and
things? No, oh, okay. Actually. We had a TV and stuff and hydro and
oh, perfect. Phone.
And no, it's just like a regular home, but it was made out of logs.
Wow.
It was beautiful, but as a small child, there's no interest in that. And so I was quite upset when we had to move there. So needless to say, I'm the youngest of five siblings. All of my siblings are much older than me. There's quite a gap between me and my next sister. So unfortunately, they had all left by this time.
Oh,
and
no.
I was left there on my own with my parents.
Oh, no.
Am I painting a pretty picture
yeah,
here?
Yeah, oh, it's a good picture. It's a good picture.
So here we are in the middle of nowhere in this log house. We had quite a bit of area around us. It was all wooded. And so what I used to do to pass the time was go through and wander through the bushes and just see what I could find. There was an old abandoned farmhouse beside me. So a lot of times I would go over there and just investigate to see what was there. And somehow, I can't even remember exactly how this happened, but I ended up just wandering through, finding animals, and just sitting and talking to them, seeing, and it sounds odd, and I can't even tell you what the process was to get this going, but I would just find an animal, frog, snake, bird, whatever I could come across, and I would sit and chat with them, and I didn't realize that this wasn't something that people couldn't, this was something that people couldn't do. I thought this was quite standard, quite normal, because it was quite normal for me.
Right.
And as I got a little bit older, I realized very quickly, after saying a few comments, that this was not normal and
not
acceptable.
How old are we talking?
I guess as I grew a little bit older, I would say probably about 9 or 10, I discovered
okay.
that this wasn't normal. I still did it, but didn't tell anybody.
Right.
And then as I started to get into my teenage years, that's when I started to suppress it because, of course, I wanted to become normal and accepted and fit in, and that was not normal or accepting. So I basically just worked really hard to fit into, you know, your teenage social groups and let it suppress. Now, most of my life, after that, as I got older, about the age of 18, I started to get drawn more to the holistic field. Mm. In my around the age of 14 till 16, I found that I would get psychic impressions, if you want to call it that, and I tried to suppress those as well because that's again not normal. But about the age of 18, I decided, okay, let's stop fighting this and let's get into this and see what's going on. And so
nice.
I started studying.
That's a nice early age, though. Like, that's nice that you got into it that early. Because, you know, usually what happens is, you know, when you discover, like myself, when I discovered that, you know, not everybody felt things and you didn't, like, not everybody knew, you know, things that I would know because I would feel their energy. I would feel their emotions. I would know from my their feelings what was going on. So I didn't just hide it. I like completely suppressed it. And, you know, quite often that's what happens to us as intuitives. We, you know, we completely suppress it and we don't get back into it until we're in our 20s or our 30s or, you know, something happens that, you know, creates some sort of trauma or event in our life that we need to, you know, change.
Right. Well, actually, at the age of 17, I was in a very, at that time, what I felt was a serious relationship, and we were engaged, and my wow. fiancé at the time was killed in a motorcycle accident. So there's your traumatic oh. event that occurred that made my whole life just shift. So that wow. was the start of a change within me to rediscover myself and really just try to figure out what this life was about. Why was I here? Why were these things happening? And how could I positively affect the world that I'm in?
Nice.
That actually did occur. In
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
So it took me a while, but about the age of 18, that's when I started studying. And funny enough, I didn't go right to animal communication. I went totally around it and everywhere but there. But
oh, there you go.
Needless to say, I have an arm's length worth of different modalities that I've studied throughout the years.
Wow.
Definitely, including Reiki, reflexology, geopathic stress, dowsing. I even did tea leaf reading at one point, ear
nice.
Candling, you know, your whole gamut of just about everything you can think of. I had my hands on and have basically researched and studied it in some form.
Yeah, you know, I really admire somebody who can do tea leaf reading. I look at tea leaves and, you know, they just look like tea leaves to me. Because, you know, there's not a lot of feeling that comes through tea. And I think
we can change that. I can teach you
how to feel my tea.
That's right. We can do it. Actually, funny enough, most things that I do teach it because I believe we all have the ability, but just at different levels.
Yeah.
And so that is one class that I have taught for many years.
Would I just be feeling the people that actually pick the leaves, or would I actually be feeling?
No, that's a good point. No, because of the energy of the person who's drank the leaves, or they don't even have to drink it, just put their hand over the teacup, their energy then gets infused in the leaves and you will see symbols. And now that's the easy part.
But see, that's I don't see symbols. Like I feel symbols. I do that anyway.
Well, you're right. You know what? Some people, you don't have to see it. You could just feel it. And you know what? It's like everything else. Tea leaf reading is another tool to get you to read the information, and that's what it is. If you choose another form of getting the information, then that's entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. That's why a tarot reader, palm reader, psychometry, they're all really very similar. Mm-hmm. They're just getting the information, and that's their tool they use to get the information.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, like I said, I see tea leaves, but you know. Okay, so you went everywhere around it. Now, I want to go back to your story about you know, in the woods and talk. So what would you talk to?
I would talk to anything I can get my hands on. Like I said, snakes, birds, squirrels,
oh, cool.
rabbits.
Okay, snakes, what would they say?
Oh, I actually love snakes. They're very curious and very aware. All animals are.
Right.
But actually, at that time, I guess I would play games with them and try and get them to do things. I remember traveling in the car. I know that might not sound so good to
a
lot of people,
you know,
but
it's interesting.
I would see what kind of impact my information that I would send to them would have on them if I got them to turn a certain way or lift their head up or anything that came to my mind. And of course, I was only a child at that time, so you got to remember that's a child's mentality. Of course, right. I'm playing games. That was my interest. I just needed something.
Because you were there
the
alone.
Yes,
you
exactly.
were all alone.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that made me not feel so lonely.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, that makes total sense. Total sense. Okay. So then when did you finally get into animals?
It was probably, about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe not quite that long, that after being in the holistic field again and doing all these other modalities, in the meantime, going to college and taking business, and I don't know where that falls, but I'm all right. over the board, I guess. But
business is good because, you know, as holistic practitioners, we're not really very good at business. So that would be a good tool to have on your belt to assist yourself to become, you know, better at the whole business world.
Yes, and we do need that for a balance, but it totally wasn't conscious in my decision to take it. I'm sure there was other beings at work there. My guides, I guess, must have been guiding me and I didn't realize it, but to me it was just a safe and acceptable route. Again, here we are with the acceptance, and I was still in that mode, even though on the side I had a lot of hobbies that were holistic. I still followed the traditional path and did go to school for business and got out and went, gee, what do I do now? So needless to say, I still always worked at a regular job, I'll call it, for many years before I turned over into the holistic field full time. So I guess it was, to answer your question, I guess it was about maybe between 6 and 8 years ago. I can't even remember the timing. But I was speaking to a friend on the phone, and he's a man that I talked to often but didn't go to his house regularly. He lives quite a distance away from me, about 45 minutes. So we were just having a normal conversation, and all of a sudden his dog started sending me information through him while I was on the phone, and wanted really pushing to ask certain questions. Uh-huh. Like, why did you move the dog beds? Where did the burgundy dog bed go? Why did you do this? You know, and so asked me umpteen questions. And after I asked him about 5 different questions, and he said, what are you doing? Where are you getting this from? And he would answer each one and go, how do you know that? And I would be just like, oh, no, you know, I don't know. Just, so what happened with this? Why did you move this couch? And after about 5 different questions, like I said, he finally said to me, Sheila, I really have to know, where are you getting this information from? And I said, well, okay, you know, I know you think I'm crazy already, so I'm just going to tell you, your dog's talking to me. And I swear, I thought he would say to me, oh, yeah, right. And that's what I expected. But instead, he said to me, which one? Because he had 2 dogs. And that just threw me for a loop. And I was like, oh, it was Daisy. And so he started then going, oh, no, can you ask her this? Well, what did she think of this? And what about that? And an hour later, I got off the phone with him, and he was thanking me, and he said, you know, you have to do this for other people. And I said, I can't. People just don't accept this. It's not normal. And he said, no, they will. And he literally handheld me and took me all over to different farms and met different people, nice. And got me to do different readings on a variety of animals for him, and built up my self-confidence. And here I am today, now doing this full time. So
yeah, which is so amazing. Now, you mentioned guides, and we'd sort of had a great conversation over dinner, but you know, I had, my cat was definitely here not only to help healing, but you know, he's a guide for me, and I know that. So do people have animal guides? Like, what does everybody, I think, you know, there's a lot that come in the spirit form as well as in the physical.
Yes, you're hitting on 2 things, definitely. Yes. We have definitely animals come into our lives for healing, teaching, and learning. And we have them for healing, teaching, and learning. And that's in the physical aspect. Now, in a spiritual aspect, yes, we all have animal guides as well that come and interact with us, just like our regular guides do. And, of course, everybody has their own beliefs. And so I would encourage people just to believe whatever they feel is kind of conducive to their understanding. But I will say, in my personal belief, I do believe a lot of the native tradition, mm-hmm. where we do have a life animal that comes with us when we are born, and then we have different animals that interact with us. We also have animals in spirit and in physical that come to us as messengers. And so we have those every day in our life, and they always change, and some stay with us, some actually change and alter depending on what we need and what guidance and learning is coming our way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm always fascinated by a lot of different animals, but I connect really strongly with swans. And I usually see two swans, and that usually represents to me a relationship. So that is very deep and profound for me, because I just find them beautiful. I think they're just so pure and graceful and just this beautiful essence of energy. And then also I remember I did a retreat, and one of the symbols of Shiva and Shakti were two swans. And so it's part of your third eye, and it's very spiritual concept. It's like, oh, that's why I connect with them.
Yeah, makes complete sense. Sometimes we actually don't even know why the animal is present, but we usually find out later on.
Yeah.
And definitely people can go and find out through repetition. You might see a certain animal over and over, and it might be very strange occurrences where, let's say, we'll use the example of a butterfly. And butterfly, in representation in many books that you could read, usually means joy through change,
right.
Joy achieved through change. And so if somebody all of a sudden gave you a card and there was a butterfly on it, then you saw a program on TV that had butterflies, and then a butterfly came and landed on you, you know, there's would be symbols and signs for you to recognize, to know that, hey, that's a message for me. And so you can actually purchase different books that will help you to understand what the message actually means.
Right.
And the other way you can do it is then start developing your own representation and your own understanding of the symbols or the signs. So you can just go, okay, well, to me, butterfly represents, so I'm assuming that's what that symbol is.
Right, right.
Or you can ask somebody who might have a better knowledge of it.
Right.
Research the internet. That always works, too.
And there's a wealth of knowledge, not always all completely accurate. So use your discernment, but there is a wealth of knowledge.
Thank you for that. That's so true.
Well, it was funny because I had an intimate experience where we were both looking out at the window at one certain point, and there was this huge red-tailed hawk. And it was literally right outside the window, and it was like sitting on a branch, and it was like huge. And it was like, wow, that's, and then it flew off. But it was like, we both ended up seeing it pretty much right at the same time. It was like, that's pretty incredible, because it was in the middle of the city sitting on a.
Oh, well, that would be very unusual now, wouldn't it?
Oh, very unusual.
So there's a sign for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And typically a hawk is a messenger. It's a message coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very nice. So I actually wanted to give you a picture, and you can sort of talk about, to give the audience an experience of what it's like, because you usually deal with pictures.
Yes, I do have a website, petpsychic.ca, and what I do is I can connect to animals, living or past, through a photograph. I can do it in person, but it doesn't really make a difference as far as the quality of the reading goes, whether it's through a photograph or in person. Mm-hmm. All I require is their name, their gender, just for reference purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not calling it a he when it's just she, because they could have male energy and it's a female. And I've done that in the past. So that there's just a stipulation out of respect for the owner and the animal to have a better conversation, so mm-hmm. that they understand who I'm talking to. And just age. If the animal has passed, then I also ask for the approximate passing date. Just help me to tune into the energy of the animal.
Right.
And I can deal with health issues, behavioral issues, any questions or concerns that the people may have as well.
Right.
So really it's like being a bridge, a communication bridge between the pet and the owner and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Which is so cool. And so this dog is named Ebony, and I believe she's about 8 years old. She's a big girl. The picture you see, she's a bit younger in it. She's a pretty unique big girl. That's what we like to call her. She gets very excited when she hears my voice when they're listening to my show.
Yes.
They go, "Where's Auntie Lori? Where's Auntie Lori?"
Actually, I can tell by just looking at her that she is just full of life and full of fun. Her main focus and her main objective is play. She is there to teach people to learn to play, learn to understand the importance of not taking life too seriously. Nice. And she's telling me she does that within her family. She's showing me her female owner and how her owner does have a tendency to tend to take things too seriously. Mm. And she's trying to help that. What is the owner's name?
Well, Mickey? There's two. So it's Sandra and Debbie.
Oh, okay.
I would think, well, I'm
one guessing. Of them has short hair?
Yeah, well, they both do.
Oh, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. The one with the lighter short hair. There's one with a darker short hair, and then one with lighter short hair. It looks like her hair has a chunk of dyed closer to the front, and it's like a two-tone.
Not quite two-tone, but it is blonder. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, with her, it's specifically to help her create a balance and understanding of not to take life so seriously all the time. She tends to get wrapped up in, and sometimes, I'm sorry, pets will end up talking about physical ailments or different concerns with their owners. And here we are. Just I hope she doesn't mind. She says that this woman tends to get wrapped up in things and almost dwell on them and becomes like a bubbling, stewing pot within her, and she doesn't let it go. And she's saying that these can be not necessarily important things. And the dog is saying basically to me that she needs her to understand that she shouldn't take things so seriously all the time. Pick and choose her things that she wants to focus on. Everything does not need her complete focus. Everything does not need for her to be so concerned and obsessed about it as far as that goes. I hope that you understand what I'm trying to say.
I totally do, and so will she.
Sorry. yes, and she's telling me that the dog herself is very... She's using the term wiggle butt, but she does not stop. She's all over the place. So I guess you understand what that means. She's also showing me them drinking wine often and saying that this liquid that they're drinking, which I perceive as wine, is not something that they should be having to the extent that they have it. So not so frequently.
Hmm. Debbie, did you hear that? It's not wine, it's vodka.
Oh. Okay, I kept thinking
vodka
it was
coolers.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Well, maybe you do need that quite often. It depends.
Yeah.
We're picking on Debbie, I think, are we?
No, first one was Sandra.
Oh, okay. They're very close, the two of them, because their energies overlap. Mm. And they have a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences as well, she says.
Now they're a little concerned because she is a mix between a Newf and a Lab, so she's a big girl, and she's getting older. So they just wanted to know if she was very uncomfortable or if she's
she has some pain and discomfort on the predominantly, and of course I'm not a vet. I can only tell you, I can body scan them and tell you what they send me, what they show me that they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And what she shows me is predominant pain and discomfort over the right hip joint. And she likes pressure applied to that, but constant pressure, not a movement. So she doesn't like you to do like a massage.
Oh.
She likes you to hold it and
so
press.
An acupressure more than?
I would say probably like a Reiki rather than.
Oh,
so
okay.
Just putting your hand directly on and the pressure of the hand with the warmth would probably be more beneficial.
Well, they both know Reiki, so they should be
perfect.
Able to do that.
Yeah. Yes, excellent. Also with animals, anybody who does Reiki should only do one hand at a time because it can be overwhelming for them. And if the animal walks away, let them, because that means they're done.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry. With animals, it only takes sometimes 5 minutes or less, up to 15 minutes. Not often do they sit longer than that. You will see the odd occurrence, but... they certainly don't need as much as us humans do. It comes through very quickly and easily for them, and they absorb it very fast. She's telling me fish oil would be very good for her. Mm. So I don't know if they give that to her right now or not. Kay. And she also shows something that's a green paste. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's something that they give to her now or something that she's feeling would help her. Hmm. And I guess only they can answer that.
Right.
Otherwise, she's showing me that she does have slight times where the back end bothers her a little bit, but they're just little bouts, and she does not let it stand in her way. It's almost like she just pushes through it, and she ignores it a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. She'd rather go out and play, and she doesn't care about the pain.
And is that okay? Because she wants to run, and so they're trying not to have a run, because if she runs too much sometimes, or, you know, in the snow or something, because mm-hmm. she likes to jump in the snow.
Yeah, no, she has no idea about boundaries and limits. No idea. So she would be like a two-year-old. You know, they'll just run and run and run until they drop
yeah.
and they pass out, and that's her. She just would be like, no, just leave me go, and then she suffers the repercussions of it later. But in her mindset, yeah, just leave me play. But coming from a human standpoint, I would say that, yeah, you're going to have to make her take breaks for her own good, for right. sure.
And so no acupuncture or anything like that? So the Reiki should be enough?
Yeah, she is not interested in acupuncture whatsoever, but that doesn't...
That's funny.
She actually doesn't like people touching around her back end. She'll just keep whipping around and trying to grab to see what's going on. So I would even suggest if they are going to do anything like acupuncture or any kind of modality that involves direct contact with the back end, then you put up a mirror and allow her to see through the mirror.
Oh,
sounds
cool.
Like an odd request, but that will prevent her from whipping around, because otherwise she's going to have a hard time staying still, because she's very curious and she needs to see what's going on.
Because she's playful and she's trying to teach them about joy.
Yes.
That's very cool.
That's her most important aspect, the main reason why she's here, and she stresses that.
And is she putting up with her brothers and sisters, the cats? Because there's a lot of in this family. There's been a lot.
I think she has more fun with them. That's not. I think they put up with her.
Oh, is that it? Okay. That's very funny.
She feels like she likes to herd and take care of them, and she's always got her nose in them. But that's why I would say then they feel that they uh-huh. have to put up with her, because yeah. she is pretty much the one who bugs them more than they bug her.
Oh, there you go. That's probably very true. Well, thank you very much. That's awesome. So is there anything else that you would like to talk about? Because we've kind of been talking about a lot of different things. There is a story that you have that most impacted. It sounds like it was your son. Was it your son?
Yes. And my cat?
And your cat.
Yes. Years ago, we're coming up to, we just hit 8 years actually. So just over 8 years ago, I had a black cat named Harley, who was an amazing creature. And I know over dinner we talked about your cat, and definitely I can relate to what you're saying. Beautiful creature. Very giving, very healing. And I had him before I had my son. So what happened was I was very fearful that there would be some concerns when my son arrived with the cat, because, you know, people always talk and warn. And I guess, so yes, at that time I hadn't done animal communication on a professional level like this.
Right.
So I was just working at my own capacity. And my son was, the fear was there. But when I even spoke to my cat and prepared him, and needless to say, when my son was born, we had no problems. The cat loved my son, and we had no issues with him whatsoever, other than he always wanted to be around him. And so as he got older, the cat wanted to be closer and closer and closer. And I always had to chase him out of his room for fear, you know, when he was sleeping. Mm. And so it became, okay, you know what? He's not going to hurt him. Let's just allow it. And so he slept with my son a lot. Coming up to my son's, 2 weeks before my son's second birthday, I will tell you, I actually should go back. This won't make any sense if I don't. Sorry. Trying to play this out in my head. So 3 months before my son's second birthday, he started to show signs of something being wrong with him physically.
Your son?
Yes, my son. His name is Dallin, so I'll just use Dallin so you understand who I'm speaking with about. And what happened was, simultaneously, as my son became to show signs of illness, our cat became very ill.
Mm.
So we were focusing on the cat and thinking, okay, what's going on? And my son became showing signs of viral infection, high fever reoccurring. And the cat got constantly worse. So I took him to, over a month, about a month and a half, I took him to the vet and said, okay, there's something wrong. We need to figure out what's going on with this cat. He's just progressively getting worse. And he was diagnosed with feline leukemia. Mm-hmm. And so rather than going the traditional method, I went back to the holistic and got in contact with a holistic vet who started him on treatment. Another month and a half went by and he just deteriorated constantly. And at the same time, my son was getting worse as well. So we're coming up to 3 months of this and my cat is lying lifeless on the bed and can barely lift his head. I have to constantly take him in for hydration and that's about the only thing that I could do. And the vet at this point said, you know what, there's probably nothing that you can do. Just allow him to take its course and we'll just see what happens. You know, I'm pretty sure he's going to pass. I just don't know when. At that point, because my son became increasingly worse as well, I took my son to a specialist. We ended up at SickKids, and ultimately he was diagnosed with leukemia.
Wow.
Yes, the same thing that the cat had.
Wow.
Once my, believe it or not, and this is absolutely incredible, believe it or not, as soon as my son was diagnosed and started treatment, within 3 days, my cat was up walking around like nothing was absolutely wrong with him. Nothing. And he was perfectly cured. So he became best friends with my son again over the 2.5 years my son had in treatment. We did go allopathic with that. And he had 2.5 years of chemotherapy. And still, my cat lived another 6 years past that.
Wow.
So we lost him a couple of years back. And my son is now perfectly healthy and fine. And like I said, on the 11th, it was 8 years ago since he was diagnosed. So pretty amazing story. So
That's amazing.
Actually was something else that kind of spawned my interest again and went, you know what, there's more to this. These animals, they have more to give us. They have more understanding than what we realize. And I always had that kind of in the back of my mind and on the back burner. And I knew it was going to surface. I just didn't know when.
Wow. That's a pretty incredible story.
Yeah, it is. You know, very touching and very positive in a way. When you think about it, the cat was just very much trying to take on my son's illness, trying to show us, mm-hmm. and we just didn't get it.
Right.
And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who have similar experiences. And I've come across them as well in the last few years doing the animal communication on a professional level. I've heard a lot of stories very similar to that. And so, you know, it's very important for people to pay attention to their animals and realize they are much more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate through telepathy. And that means that they communicate in thought, pictures, and feeling sensations. So if you want to communicate better with your pet, send them a picture from your mind. Not the words out of your mouth are going to be as important as the feeling that you send them and the pictures in your mind. And I always tell people, here's a test. Go home, look at your dog, look at your cat, and just repeat in your mind a picture of them. You see them in your mind sitting over and over and over. And you'll be surprised within a couple minutes, your dog or your cat will look around and just sit and then start to look around going, wow, how did that happen? Where did they learn that? And I do teach animal communication, as Nancy mentioned earlier. And I teach at Cherry Valley as well. And so I offer two levels, animal communication at the basic level, which is just communicating with any living being, and as well as the second level, which helps you to do body scanning, intuitive body scanning, working with behavioral issues, and working with animals who have passed.
Hmm. Sounds amazing. It sounds like, I'm fascinated by it and would love, I think we develop our own intuition and we're all very unique and very different in what we do and how we do it. And so as I was explaining to you the night before I had to put my cat down, you know, he showed me a picture of what he was going to look like. And to my surprise, and was actually confirmed tonight, which was wonderful. Like, to my surprise, you know, he said, well, I'm going to be a female this time. And, you know, I'm going to be white. And first I saw green eyes and then I saw blue eyes. And the blue were so sparkling blue because I was so, you know, I'm used to seeing, like when I first saw it, because they were so vibrant, I thought, oh, they have to be green. But it was like, no, they're blue. And so when then I saw the blue, I said, oh, Crystal. And he said, yeah, that will be my name. So he was very clear about, you know, how he was coming back, not when, but certainly how. And so you were also explaining to me that, you know, he can do more right now for my work in the spirit form versus him coming back physically for me right now. So he's going to be a little bit longer, but I know he's coming back. So, and I knew that before, which probably made it a little bit easier for me, knowing that he was definitely going to come back.
Oh yeah, it's very comforting, of course, to know that he's still around you and with you, and you did receive confirmation of that. It sounds like we were talking earlier,
Yeah. You've
received that before, as mm-hmm. well as tonight.
Mm-hmm. Which was so nice. Well, we are almost done. So tell people how they can get a hold of you. I think you've already done it, but...
Yes, I have a website called petpsychic.ca, or they can reach it through my name, which is SheilaTrecarton.com. Not an easy name to remember, so let's go with petpsychic.ca. Much easier. And they can reach me as well by phone, which is 705-458-1156. And again, I don't have to be physically present to work with the animal. It can be done through a photograph.
Great. And what I would really like is to have you come back on a more, every 6 weeks or so, and have it do a segment, and maybe we can get the audience to email me pictures, and we can, you know, pick up one or two and just do stories and just talk about, you know, how animals impact our lives. Because I mean, I think they're very precious to us, and I think they really are here to teach us about unconditional love and apparently joy and play. And I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why they come into our lives, and I think it's, you know, I think it's time that we connected with them.
Very well put. I agree. I'd be thrilled to be able to do that. Definitely.
Great.
The more people who have awareness, the better.
Great. Well, we've reached our time, so it is farewell for now, but I hope you join us next week, which is next Thursday at 7 p.m. on Intuitive Soul Radio. Thanks for joining in, and we'll talk to you soon.